This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 12, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Okay, good morning. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, June 12, 2014 will now come to order. Item one on the agenda is correction and approval of the minutes for April 23, 2014 and May 8, 2014. Madam Vice Chair, do we have a motion?
I move to adopt agenda document number 14-27, minutes for the open session held, I can do them both together, on April 23rd, 2014, and agenda document 14-28, minutes for the open session held on May 8th, 2014.
Any questions, corrections, comments regarding the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Item two on today's agenda is discussion of advisory opinion request 2014-04 from Enterprise Holdings, Inc., and I believe we have a few late submitted documents.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document number 14-30, draft advisory opinion and draft dismissal letter AO 2014-04, Enterprise Holdings, Inc.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? All those, yes,
pardon
Madam
me,
Secretary.
We get
there's
both
another
documents.
One. Yeah, there's another one. Sorry. And agenda document number 14-30A, agenda item and item draft B, AO 2014-04, Enterprise Holdings, Inc.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Thank you. Esther Jory?
Jory.
I'm sorry, you told me that. Esther, thank you. Of the Office of General Counsel with Adav Nodi, and Amy Ralstein is here as well. And I want to welcome Jan Barron of Wiley-Ryan, counsel for the requester, who's available to answer any questions. Welcome, Mr. Barron, and thank you for joining us. Ms.
Jory.
Jory, I'm sorry. Ms. Jory, you want to give us a presentation on this advisory opinion request?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Goodman, and good morning, commissioners. Agenda documents 14-30 and 14-30A consist of two alternative draft advisory opinions and a draft dismissal letter in response to an advisory opinion request from Enterprise Holdings. The requester is a corporation that maintains a separate segregated fund. The requester uses a payroll deduction system to facilitate the making of voluntary contributions to its SSF by restricted class employees. The requester asks whether the Act and Commission regulations preempt New York state law insofar as the state law purports to prohibit the use of payroll deductions for employees to make voluntary contributions to the SSF. The Commission received one comment on the request from the New York State Department of Labor, stating that the Department of Labor does not interpret state law to prohibit the activity described in the request. Both draft advisory opinions conclude that the proposed activity is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. Draft A reaches this conclusion notwithstanding state law. Draft B does not reach the question of preemption. The third draft response is a letter that would dismiss the request as hypothetical, given the comment from the New York State Department of Labor. We received one comment on the drafts, and if the Commission votes to approve any of the drafts, we ask for authority to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. Thank you, and I would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Ms. Jury, I just have a couple of sort of predicate questions to understand the federal preemption issue, mm-hmm. if you don't mind. It's my understanding that the FECA preempts the field. This is the FECA is an example of field preemption in the area of federal preemption law.
That's how we understand it, yes.
Okay. And where you have a federal law that preempts a field, the federal law occupies the field, and state law cannot regulate the same activity on a parallel basis, cannot augment the federal regulation, and certainly cannot conflict with the federal regulation. Do I have a correct understanding of the preemption issue here?
Yes, that is correct.
There's no issue.
Okay. So this Federal Political Action Committee would not have to comply with federal law and, in addition, check boxes of complying with state law on the same subject of payroll deduction.
Well, that's the question before the commission to some extent.
Okay. So in other words, there's a live question before the commission on whether or not this federal political committee should have to comply with both federal law and state law.
No, I'm sorry. It's the question before the commission. All three of the draft documents would end up with the same result on the underlying question. The question before the commission is whether to reach that question.
And I'm trying, to establish the predicate for reaching the broader question. And so I take it that if there is federal field preemption, an organization should not also have to comply with state law. State law would simply not apply because federal law occupies the field.
The only binding requirements would be the ones of federal law.
Okay. Yes. So, I want to ask you a question about the comment that we received from New York State. It begins with the New York State Department of Law requests the Commission refrain from issuing an opinion on the preemption issue raised by the requester because that issue is rendered moot. Is it your opinion that the issue is rendered moot by the comment from New York State? My leading question being, my understanding, if federal law occupies the field, then federal law preempts regardless of whether state law permits or prohibits the activity.
If I could just distinguish between two separate questions. The legal question of whether the federal statute and the commission's regulations preempts this state statute and regulation remains an active question. But for purposes of the commission's advisory opinion procedures, the New York comment, it's OGC's view that the New York comment has rendered it hypothetical or moot or a general question of law as applied to this particular requester and the particular activities in which they wish to engage.
And it's hypothetical. Why?
Because there's no question now, given the comment from New York, that the requester is permitted to engage in its desired activity without regard to the requirements of the state statute.
But if there's federal field preemption, then it's irrelevant whether state law permits it or prohibits it, right?
It's irrelevant for the preemption question, but it remains relevant for the question of whether the request is, in a sense, live. So,
well, let me read the request on page 8 of the request. For the reason, it says the commission asked the commission to confirm that New York CLS Labor Section 193 and 12 NYCRR Section 195-4.5 are preempted by 2 USC Section 453 and commission regulations, insofar as the New York statute and regulation apply to Enterprise Holdings' use of payroll deductions to facilitate the making of voluntary contributions from its restricted class to Enterprise PAC. So why isn't that a question squarely before us? They want to know that to the extent that state law may apply to us, and there is language in the comment from New York about how the language of the New York law nonetheless governs the question, why isn't that issue squarely before us? Why is that a hypothetical question?
Because the commission's regulations require an advisory opinion request to be valid, to not just ask a general question of law. That may be and is still a valid general question of law, whether the federal statute preempts. But it has no application, given the comment, to the actual activities of the requester.
Well, the activity from the requester is the requester wants to engage in payroll deduction and wants to know if it can do so, irrespective of what state law may say about it. Isn't that a live question for this requester? And isn't that the question he posed on page 8 of his request?
Well, I think the question poses the preemption question, and given that New York has said that it's not going to regulate this activity, it has no practical effect, and therefore is hypothetical.
Well, maybe we don't fully understand, but let me refer you to Advisory Opinion 1982-29, United Telecom Political Action Committee. Where the commission answered a question put by UNIPAC with no specific state law at issue at all, and the commission answered the question on preemption in that case, and said that the act would supersede or preempt any state law prohibiting the proposed use of payroll deduction as a means of facilitating voluntary contributions to UNIPAC. The commission went on to note, however, that you've not presented for the commission's consideration any specific state law, and yet the commission reached the question.
Right, and if the commission were to reach the question here as reflected in draft A, it could use similar language saying, essentially, if New York were to deem this activity within its statute, it would be preempted. And that would be similar language to the language that you quoted from that advisory opinion.
So if New York were to deem its statute to apply, regardless of whether it prohibits or permits, if they deem their statute to apply to this activity...
Correct.
Then there is a non-hypothetical preemption question.
I think commissioners could differ on that.
Well, and then in 1976-23, Continental Oil Company, the question of preemption in the general sense was asked, and the commission opined that state laws regarding payroll deduction plans would not be applicable to separate segregated funds established for the purpose of making contributions or expenditures in connection with federal elections. No specific state laws at all were at issue. Whether they permitted or prohibited it was not at issue. And yet the commission went ahead and answered that question, didn't consider it hypothetical.
And again, the language that advisory opinion used, and that's quoted in draft A, the commission could use similar language here, saying it's a conditional language, so that, you know, the state would not be permitted to regulate this activity if it were to deem its statute applicable.
Let me ask Mr. Barron just to react to this colloquy.
Well, first of all, I also noticed those two advisory opinions and the circumstances in which the commission answered the request from those requesters, and not only were the questions not deemed hypothetical or moot, but the answers were quite broad and declarative. I would say that the issue that my client has presented is not hypothetical or moot. It's just that everyone seems to know what the answer is going to be, but they don't want to say it. And this agency is in contrast to the New York Department of Labor, because you have a statute that specifically says you should provide opinions to people who come to you and ask how your law will apply to specific facts, specific activities, or activities that are intended to be undertaken. And this issue of hypotheticalness, of course, appears only in your regulation. It's something that the commission inserted there because it wanted to confine some of the questions that might come before you that would be asked. And I always interpreted that as seeking to avoid having people come in and ask hypothetical questions that are based on facts that either don't exist or change. And I noted that occurred in a recent request, advisory opinion request 2004-13, where a candidate came in and said, what would be the application of the law if my opponent did something. And then the opponent filed a comment and said, well, I didn't do that, and I don't intend to do that. And so the facts altered from the opinion. Here, I think the issue is not altered by the facts. My client still intends to undertake payroll deductions. They will do so from its employees, including those who work in the state of New York, where this statute exists. And they've come to you and asked, well, how does the preemption statute that you administer apply? Does it apply to this New York statute? Now, part of the advisory opinion process under the statute is to allow commentators to come in and provide you with comments and information. And New York State, which will not provide any such comments to anyone who goes to that agency, decided to provide you with a comment about how they're going to interpret their statute. And they have represented to this agency, to your agency, that they will not apply that New York statute that prohibits payroll deductions for political action committees to federally registered PACs, and they've even put some additional conditions on that. So the answer now to the question my client has posed seems to be, does preemption apply? And the answer is no. It doesn't apply under these circumstances because of the representations made to the Federal Election Commission by this commentator. And that would be the explanation for why preemption does not apply to the statute. Of course, if the statute is reinterpreted by a future New York administrator or applied differently, then somebody can come back and raise the question again. But I think that my client does deserve an answer that clarifies that the two statutes, your statute regarding payroll deduction and the New York statute regarding payroll deduction, are not in conflict based on this comment. And therefore, preemption is not necessary in terms of negating the New York statute.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I may be permitted to digress for just a moment, I know all of my colleagues would want to join me in congratulating former President George H.W. Bush, whose 90th birthday it is today, and he is apparently celebrating by, once again, jumping out of a plane. That is so impressive.
He just did.
Okay. So good. Good jump. Congratulations. That's excellent. And I thought, noteworthy. But to get back to the subject at hand, Well, first of all, the AOs that the chairman cited are from 1982 and 1976, and the regulation that speaks to are not issuing hypothetical advisory opinions is, I believe, from 1985. So that might explain why we have these two older advisory opinions that appear to address what might now be considered a hypothetical question or a question of general law, because there was not at that time a regulation on the books, perhaps. It's a little bit unclear because it was amended in 85, I think. But it's without going into the legislative history of the regulation, I think you're right, Mr. Barron, that it was probably it makes sense to me that it may have been motivated by a desire not to have people try to get us to weigh in on somebody else's conduct, which would be pretty messy. And we have had people try and do that. But in my time here, there have been any number of times when the commission has declined to issue an opinion because we said it was hypothetical. Anytime you've got a question that's phrased in the subjunctive tense, you know, if this were to be true, what would be the result? That, to me, sounds kind of like a hypothetical question. And it may well be that maybe the question just needs to be clarified. When I look at the question that is in your written request, on page 3 of your request, it says, does 2 U.S.C. 453 preempt New York CLS Labor Section 193 and 12 NYCRR 195-4.5 insofar as the state provisions purport to prohibit the use of payroll deductions for employees to make voluntary contributions to Enterprise PAC. And we have, as has been noted, this comment from New York saying that's not what this law means. It doesn't. It doesn't prohibit the use of payroll deductions for employees to make voluntary contributions to Enterprise PAC. So, I mean, that comment should have made your client at least somewhat happy. What more do you want? I'm unclear on exactly why you want us to weigh in on this.
My client would like a letter from some authority to them about this issue. New York refuses to provide such guidance to anybody who goes to that agency. You are an agency that does provide guidance when asked. And I could revise this question based on the comment, which of course was submitted in this proceeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no comment by the Department of Labor before or since or anywhere else in the internet universe except as a comment in this proceeding on your website. My client would like to have an answer to this issue, which would resolve the application of the federal law and this New York law. And I could easily revise the question presented by putting a period at the end of the New York statute. And I just come to you and say, well, does Section 453 preempt this law in New York? Would that be a hypothetical question?
I don't know that we have to put him through that hoop, or he can amend it right here at the table on the public record.
Well, no, I just...
The gravamen of his request is, what are my client's federal rights?
If we are going to answer questions for the sake of having a public record that is clear to people down the road, I would just like... I would, it doesn't have to be... I'm not saying that he has to go back and write us another four-page letter. We have done this in the past by having counsel send an email, and then there's saying, is this what you want to know? And we understand that the question may have evolved, and we want to clarify this. And the requester says, yes. I'm just trying to have a clear public record of what the question is and what the answer is and have them match up with each other. But... So is it that your client doesn't trust the comment because it wasn't made to them directly? They don't feel like they can rely on that?
Well,
I'm trying to bring this out of the realm of the
hypothetical. Because the statute provides specifically that requestors can rely on the answers that this agency provides. Not only that, but others similarly situated can rely on the commission's opinions. So you have... an allowance and actually a responsibility to answer questions to those folks who come to you with a live question, which I believe this is a live question. In terms of the question presented, I also don't think it's absolutely necessary to change the question, but we'd be glad to do so if that would make things easier. Because this statute on its face says that you, in New York, you may not use payroll deduction for political action committees. That's the language. Now, the comment here explains why that department now, for the first time, says it doesn't apply to this type of a political action committee.
I might qualify your statement. I read their comment to say that their law does apply. It just doesn't prohibit, because in their second paragraph, they say that the language of their New York law governs the issue raised by the requester. It merely permits it. They're still holding out the possibility, or actually they are asserting that their law still governs this issue for this requester's ability to use payroll deduction. They're just saying, but by our beneficence, we have a statute that permits it. I think that the question of whether, and also I might add that yes, on page 3 there's the issue about whether or not state law prohibits it, but if you look at the way the question is phrased on page 8,
page
he merely
eight
says
what?
Insofar as the statute applies.
Page 8 of what?
Excuse me?
Page 8 of what?
Of the request. You quoted page how the question was worded on page 3, and I'm looking at page 8, and I can tell you, having been in Mr. Barron's shoes, in fact, with Mr. Barron before, this commission can reach the gravamen of a request and doesn't have to nitpick page 3 versus how it's worded on page 8, and historically has done that sometimes to its own convenience. And so on page 8, this question is squarely put. Please confirm for us that the state law is preempted by federal law insofar as New York statute and regulation apply. Well, their comment asserts that it does apply. It just permits it. And we established with the Office of General Counsel at the beginning, that's why I wanted to get my understanding of field preemption confirmed, that federal law occupies this field regardless of whether New York law permits it or prohibits it or augments it or regulates on a parallel basis. This is field preemption. And that question has been squarely presented, literally presented, but the gravamen of the request is, can we do it and what are our federal rights? Commissioner Walther.
Let me give you a little background from my perspective. I did agree right off the bat that I thought it was hypothetical once that the New York was off your back. And whether it expressed it in a way that you think gives your client comfort, I mean, that's a different question. But you may see Dave Mason suggested that we put in the full language so in the future everybody understands exactly what happened. And then I haven't heard anything further from that draft opinion that said it was hypothetical from anybody. So today it was kind of new to see us in this discussion. But in a memorandum we got yesterday, it discusses a conversation that was had with your office. So
what memorandum is that, Commissioner?
I'm just reading it right now. Mr. Barron stated, part of it, Mr. Barron stated that his client would prefer the commission to issue an advisory opinion rather than to dismiss the AOR, because those were the two issues that were mentioned once, on the record so far, was the hypothetical, where we decided it was hypothetical, and the other one was a closeout letter. However, he also stated that in light of the comment from the New York State Department of Labor, the requester no longer feels that it is important for the commission to find that this New York statute is preempted. Instead, the requester would be satisfied with an advisory opinion concluding that the requester's activity is lawful under FECA and stating that the commission, in reliance on the comment from New York, does not reach the preemption issue. So from that, I'd asked yesterday toward the end of the day if our Office of General Counsel could draft, which is now B, to that effect, so that I felt that we could honor that issue and make it clear for you and your client exactly what our view is on the situation in reliance on that. As I understand it, there was one sentence in the draft that said, however, if New York changes its mind at some point, come on back. And I guess that was taken out for the view in mind that maybe that's kind of a suggestion that we may not need to articulate formally. But that's the reason why you're seeing draft B here. So I'm surprised to hear such a strong argument being made that the draft B is not satisfactory at this time.
Let me interject. Mr. Barron's not.
Ask him a question, if I could?
So you're asking him a question. He hasn't seen that. That's an internal memo from. It's a characterization of his conversation.
And certainly, that's the reason I want to get an understanding is where you stand.
I don't think I said anything to reject draft B, did I?
Okay. Well, I see a strong argument from our conversation that we're looking for more than that. Here and
I think draft B does provide guidance. The one thing that I think is missing here is the specific basis upon which you have decided you don't need to get the preemption. I would quote the language from the comment to the comment as part of this record.
I think that's a good suggestion. I would agree with that.
Well, do you prefer draft A or draft B?
I could live with either one with my edits to them. but getting an opinion from the commission, I think, is justified and would be accepted heartily by my client.
Of course.
They like your word on all this.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we do need to issue an opinion on this. We do, as Mr. Barron pointed out, this is a letter. It's not an advisory opinion. It wasn't generated through any sort of a statutory process. It's not, you know, our advisory opinions have binding legal effects. This is the opinion of an office sent in as a comment to an advisory opinion. It doesn't cite to any, you know, any case law or any other binding precedents that that govern the legal conclusion. They make kind of a, you know, a conclusory statement that their prohibitions wouldn't apply. Although I notice the final clause of the second paragraph in the letter talks about the request representing that it does not make contributions to New York State non-federal candidates or political committees, qualifying their answer in some way. To me, at least, implying that if this federal PAC or some other federal PAC were to make contributions to New York state or local candidates or political committees, and that they had raised their money through a payroll deduction system, that may run afoul of New York state law, which I think, if that were the case, I think that would be clearly preempted by our law. If you were a federal political committee and you raise money in accordance with federal law, and then you make a contribution or an expenditure which is permitted by federal law, I don't think a state law can then come in and say that that's not going to fly in our state. I do think that would be preempted. So I think we do. I think we owe it to Mr. Barron's client to issue an answer here. I hope that there's we can find language that will leave us all comfortable, but I think that he's asked a legitimate question about a specific course of conduct, not just I may do this in the future or I'm thinking about doing this, I may or may not. They are going to raise money for the political their political committee through a payroll deduction system, and so I think we do need to kind of address this issue head on.
Well, that suggests that New York has not abrogated here, that they still believe they have some regulatory authority in some circumstances. Commissioner Ravel.
I would just say that with regard to B, I think with the changes that council has indicated, I could agree to that if what you're interested in doing is actually indicating that this is preemptive of the state law. I think we would need legal counsel's advice about that state law and about the ramifications of that, which we don't have at the present time. What we have is a request and no legal analysis about that subject, and I think it would be inappropriate for this body to act absent that discussion. So that's kind of where I am, and I would ask that if where people want to go is the other draft, then I would ask if council would be willing to extend the time for the purpose of having that discussion. But
council, yeah. you've already extended
time.
We've
already extended time, Commissioner Ravel, okay. And up until your next scheduled meeting, which is 2 weeks from today, and we'd be delighted to work with your staff on this issue.
But hopefully we can all agree on draft B with some additional language.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe you know the answer to this, Mr. Barron. I'm a little puzzled as to why this is coming up now. Is this a new regulation in New York? Because presumably, if New York was trying to prevent people from using payroll deductions to fund their PACs, we would have heard about it by now.
It is recent. My recollection is it was promulgated in November of last year. And since that time, there's been a lot of confusion about it. The New York Department of Labor has, for whatever reasons, declined to elaborate or provide any specific guidance. The only guidance on this is in the form of the comment that was submitted here, which was accompanied by what I consider to be a very unusual request that you not issue any advice. And I don't know what the motivation behind that is. It certainly isn't consistent with an agency that would like to let everyone know what their interpretation is of their own statute.
Well, I think I would also like to have a little bit more time to, you know, we may need to do a little bit of wordsmithing on this. One point that I want to be careful about is that it seems like whatever they were trying to do in their regulation, it wasn't this. I wouldn't want us to issue some broad pronouncement that their regulations are preempted by federal law, when in fact their regulations may have ongoing vitality in other areas as long as it's not our area.
I agree. I don't think that's necessary. And I would like to point out that my client in this situation has a separate New York State patent. All right. The specific activities that are before you is a federally registered PAC that is not making any contributions to candidates in New York. Now, Commissioner Peterson brought up the issue, well, if that comes before you, which I would also not consider to be hypothetical, but if somebody came before you, or if my client, for whatever reason, decided, well, we're going to make contributions in New York as well, consistent with New York limits and so forth.
To New York State candidates.
They could come, such a person with those facts would come back to you and say, well, what do you think of this situation? And you could then provide that requester an answer.
So you're only asking about the federal PAC, which is making contributions to federal candidates.
Well, they make this PAC makes contributions to state candidates as well, but not in New York.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Many federal PACs do, subject to other triggering other state campaign finance registration. Commissioner Walther.
I think the concern I have is, we can wade into the whole general issue of field preemption, but it seems to me that could just lead to a lot of discussion about what field and what preemption and what kinds of things that may not be necessary for our purposes to get you what you want out the door. But the point that I think is important from our perspective is the argument that the chairman has made that, well, here's what you've done in the past. If we do what is initially being considered, that New York, we're concerned about the statute as it applies to my client. However, New York says it doesn't apply. However, if New York changes its mind sometime, we'd like an opinion now that if it changes its mind in the future, the original position that it doesn't apply is what's going to be binding upon the situation. We could be asked for a whole host of things like that and have the same thing brought to us. Well, you did it once before when it wasn't necessary to do that. And we have a lot of advisory opinions that, you know, really have deep conflicts, and we would be in a situation where we would be confronted with that. So I think we need to really have an issue before us that is such that we would engender public comment as well. If somebody says in their thing, well, I have a permit, I can do this, but just in the case in the future, if somebody changes my mind, what do you think of that? The public is not maybe too inclined to, call their lawyer and have them mm-hmm. participate. So I think I'm reluctant to go beyond really B at this point to get the job done.
Well, you're certainly not inundated with advisory opinion requests at the moment.
Any other questions, comments? Mr. Barron, did you have any concluding comments? Any other commissioner? Okay, then I think you hear a sense of the commission that we'd like a little bit more time with this, Mr. Barron, and we will schedule to take it back up on June 26. Hopefully you can be back with us, but I'm going to ask our Office of General Counsel to consult with you in the meantime to see if the language that they can work out may meet your client's request, and work with you on clarifying any question that they may need. Thank you, Mr. Barron, and thank you, Ms. Jory, and Adav, Mr. Noti, thank you. Mr. Palmer, that brings us to item 3 on today's agenda. Are there any management or administrative matters which the commission must address today?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Okay, hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.